You have the message of eternal life. We know that you are the Holy One of God. We submit to God. Submission means to put yourself under the yoke or the authority of another person. And Christ asked his disciples, "Will you submit to me? I've just preached to you the doctrine of the Eucharist." They were at Capernaum in the synagogue, and many, not a few, many of his disciples, those that loved him, had been fed by him, admired him, walked away. It's the only occasion when people would leave Christ, not for a moral issue, but for a doctrinal issue. They would not accept his teaching. They wanted their bellies fed. They wanted the living bread from heaven, but they were not going to eat his flesh and blood under the appearances of bread and wine. They couldn't understand what he was saying, but rather than submit to his authority, they walked. And he turned to his followers and said, "Will you go too?" And the first Pope said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You are eternal life. You are the source of our happiness." And yet one remained who ought to have walked, the one who would betray him. From this moment on, Judas cracked and would fall apart. Eventually, the night of the institution of the Eucharist, he would fall into the dark side. But this is where it began. He should have walked away with the others. "I don't want to accept his authority. I don't understand how this all works." The others walked. He should have walked. So you can see here the beginning of the fall of Judas. It wasn't money that caused his betrayal, but an unwillingness to submit to the authority of God. In the first reading, Joshua reminds us that we all must submit. He was a general in God's army, and the people began to rebel. So he said, "To whom shall we follow? Have we no obedience to God? Have you not seen what God did in liberating us from the Egyptians? Why will you not submit to his authority? My house will stand with the Lord. Who shall you stand with?" It's a good point. To whom are we loyal? To our spouse? St. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds us that couples, husbands and wives, must submit to each other. How they submit is one thing, but there must be mutual submission. John Paul II wrote some beautiful pieces on that. Often this text is misunderstood. Husbands ought to be willing to die for their wives, to give themselves completely, and then wives will submit to their authority. It's a two-way street. We just learn the signs to guide us along this way. So we need to all submit to authority. And when we don't, we rebel and we end up worse off. Why don't we like to obey? It's simple. We're sons of Adam, daughters of Eve. Built within us is this, "I don't want to obey." You can see it in little children. As adults we grow up, we tend to hide it, but it lies behind the scenes, simmering. We all have issues and we all don't like to obey. We don't want to submit to God's authority in our life or to anyone else's. We've seen that politically during the week, our politicians don't want to submit to authority, and rather than run the country as they ought, they run amok, and chaos is everlasting. Who knows how many prime ministers we'll have in the next 10 years with this nonsense or merry-go-round of leadership. But behind it is this unwillingness to obey. There are all issues we have, as I've said, mentioned in our life. We all have issues. One thing I just don't like to obey, I'll admit to it here in case you ever see me doing it, is I just don't like putting on the seatbelt. You know, it's one of those things I remember when you didn't have to put the seatbelt on. You had to have them in the car, but you didn't have to put them on. You know, you might be driving from here to the cemetery, just out the road, think, "Oh, nothing's going to happen." You've got to put that wretched thing on. Now, I know that's for a good reason we ought to wear a seatbelt, but it's just one of those things. We have to submit to it. We put it on because, well, we just have to do it. And if we don't, we get fined and then we feel worse off. Well, one day we'll have to pay for all the fines, the moral fines, of our unwillingness to obey to God's law. And that's something that should make us think twice when we don't want to obey. One person who struggled with this all his life, but then was liberated, was Augustine. It's his feast day this week, and we ought to think about Augustine often. Beethoven, God gave him a gift for music, Michelangelo for art, Augustine for writing. He's perhaps one of the greatest writers ever in Christian civilization. As you know, he died in 430 in the 5th century after having been a bishop for 35 years. I wonder what he would write today with regards to the issues in our church. I think he'd be very cut and dry, as he was in his many books. And his books are still being read. Not just his Confessions, which is all about his conversion, but the City of God and his other great works on Scripture. They're very profound. But that's the fruit, the outcome of having submitted at the age of 32, when he was finally baptized by Ambrose at Milan. And what caused that conversion? Well, grace. Who obtained the grace? His mother, Monica. I often marvel that Monica's feast day is the day before Augustine's, and rightfully so. What a mother she was. Twice a day she'd go and pray in the church for his conversion. She knew he was brilliant, gifted. And after having converted her husband Patrick, she focused all her efforts on Augustine. And he knew he was under attack, spiritual attack. So he left Africa, northern Africa, went to Rome, she pursued. Then he went from Rome to Milan. And eventually she caught up with him. But her prayers were always present to his heart, knocking, seeking. And although he drifted from one group to another and lived an immoral life, eventually he knew that he had to submit to God's authority. There are three stages in his conversion, and the last is most eloquent. It's utterly, I give in, I've run the race, I've done my own thing, I've had a woman, I've had a child, I've been brilliant, but I don't have peace of soul because I'm not at one with God's will. And when he did submit, everything changed, and what a contribution he made to the church. So when we're having difficult moments and we don't want to give in, we don't want to kind of be reconciled or just completely be humble and bow before the authority of another, think of the great fruits of Augustine's conversion, his submission. It's one good example to keep before our eyes that if we do submit to God's will in our life, God can use us to draw others to his kingdom, but also to manifest his holiness in this world. Augustine eventually found he had a father in heaven, and then he embraced his mother, the church, on earth. Might we do likewise?